Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Listener, let's continue with our teaching entitled Prosperity for God's People. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. This teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's Word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market or who is in control of our White House, or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless his people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. This study will consist of six parts. An introduction, part one entitled Poverty, Satan's Plan to Keep Christians Ineffective. Both of these parts we have finished thus far. Part two, the law of sowing and reaping, which we will complete today. Part three, the blessing of Abraham. Part four, how to activate the blessing. And part five, seed time and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net. to hear the previous episodes of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation, unless otherwise stated. Let's continue with part two, entitled The Law of Sowing and Reaping. Listener, if you receive nothing else from this teaching, I want to make it clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity, and Satan is the author of poverty, not God. God's plan for his children to prosper financially is based on being obedient to God's word, and God's prosperity brings no sorrow. As a reminder, God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes financial prosperity. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too and have their place in God's Word. But this study is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently taught nor taught according to the Word of God in the church today. Therefore, this biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Now let's resume with the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. Before I ran out of time last week, we had just finished reading from Galatians chapter 6. I was explaining that this spiritual law recorded in the Word of God operates in the same manner as the natural law of sowing and reaping. In brief, this law tells us that you get what you sow. What is important to remember is that this spiritual law covers all areas of man's life. That would be spirit, soul, and body, which includes money or our financial wealth. I would like us to reread Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9, as a precursor of how this spiritual law affects our finances and requires us to plant financial seed before reaping God's financial blessing. Please turn to Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Verse 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." Verse 9. "And let us not go weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." Listener, I want to highlight a couple of phrases in these three verses that we just read, just as an emphasis as to our obligation with regards to sowing and reaping. In verse 7, it says, "Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap." I explained last week that when we sow hate, jealousy, corruption, evil, then those kinds of seeds will bring back that type of harvest. In like manner, if we sow financial seed in good ground, that being the kingdom of God, we should expect a financial blessing or harvest in multiplication. Let's continue with verse number 9. Verse 9 says, "Not grow weary while doing good." That's a caution for us. We know that we have to plant seed, and just like the farmer has to wait for the plant to grow, mature, and give its fruit, so do we as Christians. When we plant good seed into good ground, we will have a time where we will have to continue to water, fertilize, and care for the seed as it grows. This subject on seed time and harvest will be part of this teaching, and I will go into more detail at that time. But just to let you know, this passage is addressing the manner in which Christians should live in holiness according to God's word. Because when we live according to the word of God, we can expect to reap everlasting life and a good life here on earth. And this good life that brings honor and glory to our living God includes financial prosperity to get our assignments done on earth. Let's read several scriptures that deal with Christians planting financial seed and reaping a financial harvest. Please go to Luke chapter 6, one verse, verse 38. Luke 6, 38 says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." Again, let me highlight a couple of key phrases in verse 38. The first is that we first have to give. And when we give, also considered planting seed, financial seed, we can expect a abundant harvest. It says, "Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom." So we should expect a return on our giving. Again, I will go into more detail regarding this seed time and harvest in latter parts of this teaching. The next phrase that I want to expound on is the last sentence of this verse. It says, "For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." So again, the more you give, the more harvest you will receive. Now, Let's continue with reading 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 8. We're continuing to read scriptures that deal with planting financial seed so that we can reap a financial harvest. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Verse 7, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." Let's go back to verse number 6. Again, it's telling us that when we give this seed, when we sow this seed, if we sow sparingly, then we're going to reap sparingly. If you remember from our previous episodes, I had mentioned about when you plant 5 acres of corn, you cannot expect 100 acres of wheat. It's whatever you have planted and in the quantity that you have cultivated will be the harvest. So this principle works with financial blessings. The more you plant in good ground, the more harvest you will receive. Notice that the second part of that scripture says, when you sow bountifully, you will also reap bountifully. Amen. And then in verse 7, it tells us, or the Lord tells us, that God loves a cheerful giver. When we give unto the Lord, we should give it with a good heart, with love and joy, because we are helping to spread the good news of Jesus Christ throughout the world. And God honors that seed. And then in verse number 8, it says that we should expect to always have sufficiency in all things as a result of our giving. And last but not least, it say, may have an abundance for every good work. So when we give unto the kingdom of God, we plant that good seed into good ground, we should expect to be able to fund all the good work that is going on all over the world by Christians just like you and me. Now let's go on to Psalm chapter 34, and we're going to read verses 10 through 17. Psalm 34, 10 through 17. This time I will be reading out of the Living Bible Translation. Verse 10 says, "Even strong young lions sometimes go hungry, but those of us who reverence the Lord will never lack any good thing. Sons and daughters, come and listen, and let me teach you the importance of trusting and fearing the Lord." Verse 12, "Do you want a long good life? Then watch your tongue, keep your lips from lying, turn from all known sin, and spend your time in doing good. Try to live in peace with everyone. Work hard at it. For the eyes of the Lord are intently watching all who live good lives, and he gives attention when they cry to him. But the Lord has made up his mind to wipe out even the memory of evil men from earth." Last verse, verse 17. "Yes, the Lord hears the good man when he calls to him for help and saves him out of all his troubles." Well, family, the reason I wanted to share this for two particular reasons, but I do want you to go back to verse number 10. I want to highlight that last phrase at the end of verse 10. And it says, when we reverence the Lord, we will never lack any good thing. Now, reverencing means to respect and do what God has called us to do. That's when we will not lack any good thing. And I think I made a very good case in previous episodes when we talked about the things that we can expect in this life that are good. That would include material wealth. to do not just for our own selves, but to be a blessing for others. All right, verse number 11, it says that we should trust and fear the Lord. This word fearing also is in reference to reverence or respect the Lord. So we should trust in the Lord and reverence him. And we do that when we trust God's word, which is his promises that are recorded in the word of God, and then act on them. And one of the promises that God has given us is what we have just read, that when we give for kingdom purposes, we should expect an abundant return. And then, of course, in verse number 12, it says we should want a long and good life, and that is possible when we are obedient to the word of God. And then verse 14 reminds us that we should always do good, and we do good when we're doing God's word and honoring his promises by doing our part, and that includes giving for kingdom purposes. And then last but not least, in verse 17, I will read that one more time, but I want to emphasize that last part of the verse. It says, yes, the Lord hears the good man. So when we come before him in at the throne of God to petition for help in a time of need, he hears those that are obedient to him. When he calls to him for help, and he saves him out of all his troubles. Amen and amen. Before I complete this part, I would like us to go to one scripture that deals with the law of multiplication. However, keep in mind that this law will be addressed further in the parts to come. Let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus is speaking regarding the parable of the sower. And I will go back to reading from the New King James Bible translation. Again, Matthew 13:8 says, but others fell on good ground and yield a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. I want to point out two important key phrases in this one scripture. First, you got to find good ground to plant your good seed. And then when you receive a crop, you should expect to receive 100-fold, possibly 60, and possibly 30. We're going to be talking about how to maximize your return on your giving by putting it into good ground. But let's continue right now with this last part of this teaching with regards to sowing and reaping. Every farmer knows that the harvest is based on the quality of the soil and seed, proper irrigation, fertilization, favorable weather, and the avoidance of plagues that will destroy the crop. When all of these elements are working together, the farmer will receive the maximum return on his planting. If any one of these elements are contrary, the harvest or return will be diminished. Therefore, a good farmer will do his best to see that his planting has been given the best elements possible so that his harvest will return 100-fold. Please keep this in mind as we continue with this study. Again, Christians, we are responsible for planting into good ground and making sure that the seed that we have planted is being used properly for God's glory and honor. But we'll talk more about that in the later teaching. Each week, I open this teaching by stating that this corrupt world system is ran by Satan and designed to keep the average person from getting wealthy. Have you noticed that every time you get a salary raise, the cost of living goes up? Each year, the cost for food, clothing, taxes, and etc. increases, which devours the salary increase you just received. This system is intentionally designed to keep the workers working for the large corporations so that the wealthy few can continue to earn enormous profits. In contrast, God's plan allows each person to operate above this world's economic system. In the following parts of this teaching, I will explain in greater detail how to plant financial seed in the kingdom of God and receive in multiplication God's financial harvest. For now, I would like to close part two, the law of sowing and reaping, with Isaiah 54, verses 8 through 11. Again, let's read Isaiah 54, verses 8 through 11. Verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." Family, I want to once again highlight some very important points in verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, the last part of that verse says, "that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." When we plant and fertilize and water and care for our planting, we are going to receive what we need so that we can be prosperous for ourselves in our own homes and family, and then also have an abundance to give to others, especially for the sake of the kingdom of God. That's the key about wealth. That's the key about God's financial plan. It's so that we can be blessed and be a blessing. Verse 11. Again, I want to read the whole verse one more time and then highlight those key phrases. It says, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth." God is speaking about his holy word that's found in the scriptures. "It shall not return to me void." We can expect that those promises God has given us will come to pass. They will not come back to God void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Again, it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If we come to know what God's word has to say about prosperity, and we are by faith operating according to that word, it shall come to pass. It shall prosper. Thus saith the Lord. Our living God has provided rich and precious resources as an inheritance for his obedient children. When we apply the spiritual law of sowing and reaping, we will complete the work that Jesus started on earth, and that is to proclaim the good news of the gift of salvation. Let's continue with part three of this teaching. Part three is the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. We're about to examine another Old Testament saint who was obedient to God's word and as a result financially blessed by our living God with many material riches. For those of you Christians who have studied the Bible with regards to blood covenants, know that the blood covenant God entered into with Abram, better known today as Abraham, is eternal and applies to us under the New Testament. I want to repeat that one more time. This covenant that God entered into with Abraham is eternal and applies to us under the New Testament. For those who are not familiar with this topic, rest assured that I know what I am talking about, as this is one of my favorite studies of the Bible and earned me my master's in theology. Although I will not do a complete teaching on blood covenant, I do want to explain how the blessing of Abraham blesses each Christian today under the New Testament. I want to emphasize that each Christian who has accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord is redeemed from the curse of the law. I want to repeat that. Each Christian who has accepted Jesus as Savior and Lord is already redeemed from the curse of the law. And this law, the Word of God is speaking about, is the law that was instituted and practiced under the Old Testament. For a summary of this Old Testament practice and why we are no longer enslaved by the law, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Oh, family, I'm so sorry. I see my time is up. So I do want to remind everyone that we will be back again next Wednesday. So please come back as we continue our study on prosperity for God's people. Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.